Welcome to Rising Stars, where Miriam Knight, publisher of New Consciousness Review, interviews exciting new voices in the world of progressive and transformational books, films, and ideas, who offer intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us as we celebrate the conscious awakening and explore many expressions of consciousness in action.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to New Consciousness Review. I'm Miriam Knight, and we have two very impressive guests with us today, Sister Judy Bisignano and Sandra Morse. Sister Judy is a Dominican nun, a pioneering educator who founded two alternative schools, and a lifelong rebel. She has two master's degrees in biology and ecology, and a doctorate in educational leadership and curriculum development. She helped author and publish 32 books for children and adults in subjects ranging from environmental and values education to aerospace and astronomy. Our other guest is Sandra Morse, a communications philosopher with a private practice in Tucson, Arizona. She holds a BA in philosophy and communication and is a certified mediator. Sandra will soon be guiding her 15th eco-retreat to the Amazon jungle for the Pachamama Alliance. She's been introducing visitors to the ecology of the rainforest and the spirituality of the Achuar people. Participants return home with a new perspective of their place on the planet and in the universe. Sister Judy and Sandra have collaborated on a book and DVD called Sister Jaguar's Journey, that we will hear a lot about, and is a fascinating compilation. I am so pleased to have them both with us today. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, goody, you're both there. Well, let us start with Sister Judy. Sister J, I was reading about the process of becoming a nun, and it reminded me of Hollywood depictions of boot camp. It sounded almost as brutal. Why did you stick it out? What were you hoping to find?
Well, I didn't have the greatest childhood, and the nuns were wonderful to me when I was a kid. And I thought, well, I could just be one of them. They're happy, they're intelligent, they go to college, they do great things in the world. I didn't realize that the church at that time, I thought maybe my family was a little traditional, but the church was more than a little traditional, and I just never fit in. I just never found my place in that, as a Catholic, and hardly as a nun. And I stayed because I didn't know what else to do. I thought I could fix them. There wasn't anything wrong with me. I could change them. And I could change the whole world at that age. You think you can, and I still think I can, unfortunately. And I'm still a nun, and it has its good points and its rough spots. But I don't regret the path I've taken.
Well, ironically, the brutality, the anger that you stoked up during your childhood and during your novitiate probably fueled the passion with which you developed these forms of alternative education. So
it did.
Looking back on it, you know, it had its place.
It did. I didn't know I was angry. I thought I was determined and passionate. I had all wonderful words to describe it. And then more and more, I got more trouble, and my friends were saying, you know, you're out of control, woman. And I thought, no, there's something wrong with everybody else. And so finally, I went to Sandra, and I said, Sandra, you know how to fix people. All these people in my life are out of control. What's wrong with all these people in my life, Sandra? And so it only took about 30 seconds for her to say, excuse me, sister, but you're the problem, not all the people in your world. And I think the path I was on led me, yeah, it all fits together, that I needed to find peace in a new place, and I never would have found that without Sandra Morse.
Well, Sandra, you're Sister Jay's friend and counselor. First of all, how did you get interested in the rainforest and the Achuar people?
Well, that's a longer story than I think the radio program has, but long story short, I started out by going to Guatemala, and I met the head of the Mayan Council of Elders, a beautiful man by the name of Don Alejandro Ojac Perez. And through that experience, he introduced me to the Pachamama Alliance, which then introduced me to the Achuar and the rainforest. And then they gave me the opportunity to guide people into the jungle, and now I'm guiding people on my own into the jungle. So it was originally through an opportunity I had to travel in Guatemala, and it was a life changer, a game changer for me, the trip to Guatemala, and consequently the trip to the rainforest.
And why did you think that this would be so helpful for Sister Judy?
Well, you know, I knew that Sister Judy, more than having psychological difficulties, was having a difficulty almost like a soul sickness, that we're human beings, and the human part of us, we're all the same, you know, we're here, we live, we're born, we live, we die. But the being part of us is the more fascinating, right? I say that we're human cultivated ways of being, you know. We cultivate our being, and whether it's through our experience or through our DNA or through our environment, you know, we practice being who we are. And Sister Judy's anger, more than an emotional expression, became a practice, a cultivated way of relating to the world through the lens of her anger. And I knew that if I took her to the rainforest and she had some plant medicine that would help her soul heal, that she would have more freedom to be herself, more access to herself, more options. Rather than having this anger use her, she could use the anger as needed to, you know, as a trajectory, as a force of, you know, good in the world, rather than being used and being harmful. So I thought, you know, she was old enough and smart enough and wise enough that if she had some way of transforming that herself, she would have already. And I knew that a little plant medicine would be very helpful for her.
How's that for new theology?
We're going to get into that. I love it. Sister Judy, you actually did find some profound transformation in the rainforest. And one of the external forms of transformation was the new name that you got, Sister Jaguar. How did that come about?
Well, I've always had a problem with walking, and so I got to sit in this canoe with the two Achuar guides as the rest of the group went off on a 2-hour hike. I'm sitting along the riverbank and minding my own business, and I hear this slosh, 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 and I look up, and here's this jaguar probably 40 feet at most away from me, and it's got its eyes peeled into the jungle and pounces on this bird, who died quickly for all the right reasons, I guess. And the jaguar turned around and sloshed off. And I'm glad the guides were there, because no one would have believed my story when they got back. I said, they said, well, how was it? And I said, I just saw a jaguar eat a big bird and slosh off into the rainforest, you know. And so it was a huge thing. No white person or somebody from the north has ever seen a black jaguar in the jungle since we've been going there since the year 2000. And so I became a big shot. You know, everybody wanted to see Sandra Morris before that, but now they wanted to see Sister Jaguar, Sister Jay. and so I've been Sister Jaguar ever since. It fits.
Well, it's nice that both your name and Jaguar start with a J, so it all
right.
Works beautifully.
Yep.
So The trip to the Amazon, tell us about the Achuar people and what is the nature of the experience.
Sandra?
One
Go
of
ahead,
you, Sandra. Either of you, both of you.
Well, the Achuar, they're a dream culture. So they have a different cosmology, a different idea of the world. They tend to their dreams, and they tend to their dreams individually and in the collective. So they're able to understand life through a continuum of time. You know, they understand, they have a relationship with the past, and they have a relationship with the future that comes through the consciousness of the dream, through the pituitary gland, through the collective. And that's a very different understanding of the world than we do. It's hard to even begin to understand what that might mean to us, to have that world, that purview, you know, that way of viewing mm-hmm. the world. And you have to ask. You have to tell me again what it is that you were asking. I'm sorry.
Well, it sounds very much like the Australian Aboriginal cosmology. What is the kind of experience? We're coming up to our break, so you have about a minute. What is the kind of experience that you offer the people that you bring into that community? We will take that up after the break, but I wanted to
okay.
get a flavor
certainly.
For
okay, great.
The setting
okay.
And then the nature okay. of the transformation.
Okay.
So we're speaking with Sister Judy Bisignano and Sandra Morse about Sister Jaguar's journey. Stay with us, and we will be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee, and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Our guests are Judy Bisignano, Sister Judy, and Sandra Morse. We're talking about their collaborative book, Sister Jaguar's Journey. So, Sandra, before the break, we were talking about the nature of the experience with the Achuar people. Give us a flavor of what it's like. What do they do?
Well, the rainforest is commonly characterized as the heart of everything, the heart of Pachamama, the heart of Earth, one the most biodiverse place on Earth. So just to be in the rainforest, you know, in the heart of everything, away from electric power lines, away from noise generated by fossil fuels, away from the kind of world that we surround ourselves in the United States, it's not that it's better than, it's just different, you know, and you you go there and there's your central nervous system settles, you know, you get relaxed, you're embraced by the sounds and the smells and the earth and the birds and all of the multiple, you know, living organisms in the rainforest. It's that, just that in and of itself is phenomenal. And then you have, you know, you have the opportunity to be in the presence of shamans, various different shamans. And shamanism is the oldest form of healing on earth, and they have a relationship with medicine that's very different and a relationship with healing that's very different than our, you know, relationship with, you know, big pharma, pharmaceuticals. You know, that medicine is helpful and very useful and save lives, and we're very grateful for it. And this is just different, you know. And so anytime that you go into another culture, into another way of life, we're enhanced by it, you know. We're enhanced by a profound or a different understanding of what's possible for us. So when I take people down, they have the opportunity to have different kinds of healings, different kinds of opportunities that allow them to have a more expanded understanding of who they are as an individual and what they have to offer, which I think ultimately is, you know, what we're here for. Who am I? What do I have to offer? How do I give myself to the world? What do I need to potentize my existence so that I can fully realize my potential and my destiny in this lifetime? And I believe strongly that visiting indigenous tribes around the world, they have so much wisdom for us. And going into the rainforest is a life-enhancing experience.
Now, Sister Judy, you, I think, hinted earlier that you were, in a sense, looking for God in a way that you had not yet experienced the divinity directly. You had a session with ayahuasca, which is known as an entheogen. It's a drug that many people say allows them to see God. Before you experienced that, were you starting to open up to the magic of this rainforest spirit? And
yes,
tell us about
Sandra,
that, and then the
everything that Sandra explained was described what was so pristine and so new and so ancient, but new to me, and I was getting into this wonderful setting, this wonderful physical spot, but I was also extremely depressed and very angry, and I would say almost suicidal. I was sick. I was depressed beyond description, and so there I was, just kind of lifeless, and then when I took ayahuasca, it was a truth. It was an opening. I realized it shocked me out of my denial. All the time I thought there's something wrong with the rest of the world. There's something wrong with my mother. There's something wrong with my family. Something wrong with the church. Something wrong with the Pope. Something wrong with the nuns. Something wrong with Sandra Morris, and I was fine. And until the minute I took ayahuasca, or shortly thereafter, there was this, I saw all the anger that I had ever created on the planet, that I had ever spewed out everywhere on the earth. And it was indeed, talk about depressing, it was a shocker. And I could see that I am my problem. And then almost immediately thereafter, I had the reverse of that, the other side of that coin, and I was shown all the love that I ever put out onto the earth, all the kids I ever taught, all the people I ever stood up for in terms of justice, and that was equally mind-blowing, and I was unaware of both of those two extremes in my life. And with Sandra's help after that and a lot of work on a spiritual practice that was new to me, I found kind of a balance between both of those two sides of the coin. But I don't think I ever would have found the spirituality I was looking for in an organized religion. And I kept looking and looking, and it didn't happen until I just went and had the most ancient shamanic ritual of 3,000 years ago. In a single moment, everything collided and exploded, and I found peace for the first time in my life.
How fascinating. It's almost like the veils between you and the reality of existence were drawn aside, and you could see clearly for the first time.
Yes, and that's what the Achuar, it's hard to explain the Achuar in terms of a dream culture, but that veil is in our way, but that veil to them, I can't even put it in words. They just have a wisdom, an ancient wisdom that somehow we have lost. I don't even, never met my grandparents, but they go back and talk to their ancestors back generations, and they are so connected with each other and with the plants and with life that they just breathe a different kind of a life than we do. It was just a transformative time for me. I'm glad I've been able to go 5 times with Sandra.
Wow. One of the points that you make in the book is that religion tends to interpose itself between the individual and the divinity. And that is very different from the kind of bridge and sense of oneness that you seem to have achieved in this experience. Do you think religion today is recognizing this disparity?
For me, it didn't recognize. It didn't for me. And I'm still a Dominican nun, and in some ways I'm awful as a nun, and in other ways I'm the epitome of what I think a religious woman should be. But I just, one more Hail Mary and Our Father was not going to do it. I thought, well, maybe 1,000 more Hail Marys and 1,000 more Our Fathers will do it. If one doesn't, 1,000 will, or 5,000 will. And finally, I just exhausted myself in a tradition that wasn't meaningful for me, and it might be very meaningful for others, maybe people listening, but there's probably a lot of listeners right now who are fallen away Catholics like Sister Jaguar, and I say, you know, good, fall in the direction of justice and fall into the direction of peace, and it's good free fall, and that to me is spirituality. It's unrelated to religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sandra, what was it like when you first took ayahuasca?
Well, first of all, it's not for everyone. And mm-hmm. The first time I did it, I mean, it was really a very challenging and difficult experience. I had the good fortune of being able to take ayahuasca 2 days in a row, drink ayahuasca 2 days in a row, and the first day was really, you know, rivers of blood and mountains of skulls and man's inhumanity towards man and a relentless having to come to terms with, you know, the parts of ourselves that are so afraid of each other that we massacre and annihilate and for millennia, right? We've been at each other. We've not been for each other. And it was a very difficult experience. And the only thing that got me through it was my breath. And I was grateful to be on the other side of it. And I was grateful I never had to drink it again. And the next day, the shaman came down and said this group should drink it again, and especially this one, and pointed to me. And I just thought, you're going to have to kill me. I just never drink that again. You know, why would anyone do that to themselves, really? That was horrific. And no thank you. And the next thing I knew, I was drinking it again. And it was as though it was a continuum. On one end of the continuum was man's inhumanity towards man and a kind of brutality that's undescribable that we all know about and have concerns about. And on the other end of the continuum was a kind of grace and love and connection and an experience that validated human existence. And so I was very, very happy to have had that experience to bookend the other experience. And still then I was very relieved and thought, oh, I'm so glad I never have to have this experience again, you know. thank you, and but no thank you. But as I left the jungle and entered into my life, I had more freedom. My dreams became more informative, a little more prophetic, a little more connected. I felt relieved. I had a sense of space inside of my own self, you know, a kind of freedom I'd been longing for that was based on experience, not based on, you know, anything else other than the medicine itself. So as I returned home, I began to question what was that and where did this experience come from, and maybe I should try it again, and you know. And so since then, I'm a big advocate, you know. And people know generally, you know, the first time I heard about ayahuasca, I knew I wanted to do it. I felt called to do it. It was like, yes, I don't know what this is, but I want to have this experience. And often people report that. People often say to me, yes, I want to have this experience. Will you take me? I want to go, you know. We certainly don't go just for that reason, you know. But it's nice that they provide it. They open that up for us. They give us that opportunity to experience their culture and their tradition and their medicine. So I'm very deeply grateful to the Achuar and all the other indigenous tribes in the Amazon basin that open this up for us Americans, particularly because our idea of happiness and our idea of success is kind of upside down, you know, kwanaskatsi, out of balance. We've missed the point on a few things when it comes to life, and mostly our relationship with the natural world, you know. It's not what it appears to be. And so thank goodness people are waking up to that now, and people are speaking up and saying, we value this, this is important to us. And so ayahuasca was a big game changer for me. It was just like a giant, I imagine my life to be a giant boat on the ocean, and it was a slow turn, you know, and ayahuasca was a part of that. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Yeah. Well, we're going into a break again. We're speaking with Sister Judy Bisignano and Sandra Morse about Sister Jaguar's journey. Just stay with us and we'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Sparky the Fire Dog here. Make sure your family has a fire escape plan, and they practice it twice a year. One important thing to practice is get low and go. If you see or smell smoke, it's important to get low and go. Protect your family from fire. For more information, visit sparky.org.
We want to keep you, your family, and your community safer from fire. This message brought to you by the National Fire Protection Association and your local fire department. Visit sparky.org.
Welcome back. Sandra, what do you think is the, I don't want to say attitude or understanding of the Achuar people of the northerners, the Westerners who come to visit the rainforest? What are they hoping to accomplish with them?
Well, their request, what their desire is for us to change our relationship with consumption. they say that we don't need to consume so much. We don't need to take, we don't need to destroy the Earth's resources to throw things away. Their question is, when you throw something away, where's away? You know, it's all our precious Earth. So they say that the dream that we're dreaming is actually a dream of destruction. And is it possible for us to change our dreams, you know? So their desire is for us to become more aware and more conscious and more satisfied within our own self with less stuff, you know? It's challenging because our whole economy is based on consumption. So it's a big request, and it's a thoughtful request, and they love us. I mean, we're their television, you know, we're their entertainment. they're thoroughly enthralled with us. The Acharya, you know, you've just never been with people who laugh so much and are so joyous and happy. And I mean, they have nothing, literally no electricity. They have a way that's, it's kind of contagious, you know, you're with them and then all of a sudden you find wells of happiness within your own self. But they're serious people and they're hardworking people and they're saying, hey guys, you know, we're in it together. There's no life ships on planet Earth, you know, there's no safety, what do you call them, boats, you know, this is it. So let's see if we can work together. Because the natural world is not a resource. We're related. The trees are our kin. The birds are our family. You know, we're all one. We're connected into the web of life. We, as Americans, don't dominate the web of life. So could we consider changing the dream? And when you go to the rainforest, it's very easy to begin to honor that request, you know. It's easy. It's easier than we can imagine to step away from identifying ourselves with success being something equated with the amount of money we have or the amount of stuff that we own, you know. So it's a beginning of a shift of consciousness, a shift in paradigm that affords us the opportunity to look without shame or regret or guilt, but look with a way through the eyes of opportunity and grace and wonder and, yeah, right, you know. The truth is maybe less is more. So that's the invitation of the Achuar.
Sister Jay, how has your life changed since you started going?
Well, it's totally different. I'm 74 now, and I would say I'm getting older, and I broke my leg 5 years ago, and it never healed, and I'm an invalid on some level, physically. Ironically, I'm so glad I got rid of my depression before that, or I really, really would have not been able to handle life, and my life has changed immensely, but spiritually and physically and socially, and there's a new community. I'm still with the nuns and I love the nuns, but there's a community in Tucson that's much more forgiving and giving, and young and old, and people who are searching for their own spirituality within community, and I find that just so life-giving. And I pray differently than I ever have in the last 5 years. And I write differently and read differently and just look at life differently with that. I still see the two sides of life. Unfortunately, I don't think the Achuar really see the two sides of the coin. I think everything is so interwoven in their life that it's all just one tapestry of unity. And the more I don't think I'm destined to go to the rainforest and live, and I don't think they really want me there, or they don't want any of us there for long. People say, well, I could never be an Achuar. And I said, well, who's asking you to be an Achuar? We're asking you to be a human being. And if you can't move to the Amazon, can you move from your head to your heart? Can you move that far? Mm-hmm. And I ask myself that question every day. Am I moving from my head to my heart? And can I make that journey? And that's kind of what I'm asking of everyone. Can we make that journey from our head to our heart? And the head is, to me, the north or the west. And And the heart is the junk, is the Achuar spirituality. Can we make that journey spiritually? And if we can, we're going to renew ourselves in ways that I don't think we know right now as a country or as a planet.
They do say that is the.
Say it again.
Are you still working with children?
Oh, they still call me and nag at me, and they're kind of grown now. All the kids on the South Side, they call me regularly and tell me their woes, and I tell them to change their ways, and they'll change their woes. And I'm not so much working with them, but I just love them dearly. If I ever make a fortune on this book, I'm going to create a space in South Tucson where these kids can feel at home in South Tucson in a way that I don't think is provided for them now. But
tell us a little about the schools that you started.
Well, they were, again, a statement, a protest, really. I thought if I ever can create a school, it's going to be different than how I was raised. And I was raised pretty well, really. It's going to be different than the Catholic schools I was in. It's going to be different than the public school. It's going to be different than private schools. And if I ever get the chance, it's going to be a way of being and a way of looking at kids that they don't have to be fixed, and they're okay as they are, and they're to be encouraged to think outside the box, and they're encouraged to become whatever they want to become. Really, I'll always be a teacher, no matter what. No matter how old I am, I'll always be a teacher. I think the book and the DVD is my new classroom. Just talking to you right now, I say I got rid of the chalkboard and the blackboard and the whiteboard, and here we are still teaching, hopefully, today through this conversation. And I don't regret at all that long journey from my head to my heart. I'm glad I got it on in this life and didn't have to come back and do it again.
So it actually was profoundly healing on many, many levels for you.
Totally, yeah. Totally. And even when life isn't all that great, even when I call myself the three-legged jaguar, you know, even when I'm dragging one leg, at least I'm not continuously shooting myself in the foot while I drag the one leg. I can understand pain and put it in a perspective that's different than suffering, really.
I was reflecting as I was listening to both of you describe your ayahuasca experiences on the similarities between that and the reports of people who have experienced near-death experiences when they talk about their life review, because they see the whole spectrum, good and bad. They see all the people that they have hurt, but also all the people that they have assisted in their lifetime. So it sounds like a really amazing experience. Do any people benefit from
people come on the trip and they elect not to participate in that experience. They may want to participate just in terms of helping or, observing. Many people have benefited from just being in the presence of it. And also the process of integration, you know, people share about their experience and what happened to them. So you don't have to be in it to benefit from it. You know, we benefit tremendously from each other through sharing our experiences. So, I mean, I don't have to have had some of the experiences you had. I can still benefit from it. So, yes, mm-hmm. that's an option. And the experience of plant medicine across the board is to help braid together the intelligence that emanates from the brain, the intelligence that emanates from the heart, and the intelligence that emanates from the gut. You know, they're very different information systems, and when they operate together in union so that your head is working with your heart and they're both working with the gut, then you're, you know, that's the, that now you're in the field of understanding how to fully potentize yourself.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is going to happen to the Achuar people? What are your hopes for their future?
Take it, Sandra.
Well, my without the pending, because what's happening with the Achuar right now is the, you know, oil drilling in their territory, and up north in the in Ecuador there was a terrible environmental disaster, and they're hoping that they don't have to have oil drilled in their land. You know, they are hoping that we'll change our relationship with fossil fuels so that all of the rainforest is left pristine, and that our consumptive relationship with fossil fuels will alter and change, and will become more responsible, and they'll be able to maintain the lifestyle that they've maintained for millennia. So our hope for them is that that goal is realized for them, and that the wisdom of the South is braided with the intelligence of the North, that we know how to live comfortably, and somehow or another the two worlds can, you know, fly together in the same sky. The two understandings of life can benefit from each other, so that we can embrace the wisdom of the South and they can embrace the, you know, our technological advancements from the North, and we can find a harmonious way to live together.
Well, on that note, we're going to go into our final break, and then we will be back speaking with Sandra Morse and Sister Jaguar, Sister Judy Bisignano. Be right back.
The best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Today, my new dad threw a barbecue.
I burnt everything.
And then we played catch.
I broke Mr. Lewis's window. And then, somehow, my hand.
My hand! And then my dad even let me drive his car.
The hospital down the right!
It was a rough day.
It was a great day.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back. I was curious about the notion of introducing technology and, you know, Western culture to this indigenous population. How do you think it would affect their spirituality? Do you think it would dilute it or bastardize it in any way?
No, not completely. Go ahead, Sister J.
Okay. I think that the Achuar are wise to us. And we come marching in there to their village with our cameras and our cell phones and whatever, we, you know, in our digital world. And the kids seem intrigued. The little kids like to see themselves on the screen. Would solar energy help them get cleaner water? Or speaking as a woman from the North, I would say I would like to see some limited technology if they want it. What do they want? Do they want solar energy in the school? Or do they want, what do they want? I guess not what do we think we have to offer them. I think they could live very well without our technology. But maybe, you know, maybe they, I think the medicine, they do a lot with their shamanism, but I've seen them when we were there, they say, well, do you have anything for pink eye? And we're rooting through our purses trying to find something for pink eye, or do you have something for this baby that needs a Pedialyte? You know, I mean, there's just so many, what if they had to be taken from in a bush plane out of the jungle for a broken leg or a bite of a snake, or I think they would certainly be wanting that, and there has to be a way where we can combine the best of both worlds without sacrificing. They'll never sacrifice their spirituality. They'll never give up their pristine land. They will fight to the death to keep oil out. They know what their values are. Do they yearn for, an egg to eat or milk to drink? I don't know what they yearn for. I guess I'm too busy trying to figure out what I yearn for. But somewhere between the two worlds is the correct, is the right balance.
You told the story, the very poignant story of the young mother who lost her two babies and then died herself. That must have been heartbreaking. For you in particular, Sandra, because you knew her very well, is that right?
Well, yes, it was very heartbreaking for me. It was heartbreaking to see her, a mother lose both of her children, and you wonder, you know, if the heartbreak isn't what killed her ultimately, you know. But, yeah, it would have been nice to have been able to do something for her and for her children and to save her. But that was a difficult moment for all of us. It was a difficult moment for the shaman because it was his daughter and his two grandchildren. So it was challenging.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that technology has benefited them is that they now have solar-powered walkie-talkies. So the communities can talk to each other without having to get in their canoes and take a five-hour trip down, the Pastassa River to be in contact. So they have that's been very beneficial to them. It's also given them a source of power because they can stay connected, and the fight that they're up against is it's necessary that they stay connected. So there's ways that technology has already benefited them, and they're deeply grateful for it.
Yes, you think of the revolution that even things like war and terrorism have benefited from technology, as well as on the good side. So it's very much a double-edged sword, but in this case, it's on the side of the angels. So
yes,
what do people do to learn more about your trips, Sandra and Sister Jay? Are you still going on the trip, Sister Jacquemin?
Well, Sandra keeps telling me every day I'm going on the trip, whether I want to or not, and I certainly would.
So you
love
just
to,
salute and say yes, ma'am.
I say yes, sister. No, I'm through saying yes, sister. I'm through with all that authority figure stuff. But anyway, I would love to go. But if I can't go, I can certainly go in my dreams, and I go every day anyway. You know, it's like spirituality. I don't have to take ayahuasca to experience that mystical moment. And I think anybody who could go with Sandra on one of these eco trips, eco tours, or retreats would benefit tremendously on a variety of levels. And if you can do it. Do it. If you can't, I would say find another way to break through whatever's stopping you from that journey from your head to your heart. Maybe it's art, maybe it's photography, maybe it's dance, maybe it's a good friend, maybe it's good food, a good prayer, maybe it's sitting doing nothing. I don't know. Find a way to make your your spiritual practice profound.
Mm-hmm. And you're welcome. If you want to come and you feel called to come, we're going in April and we're going again in September, and you can find out details. Just go to Sister Jaguar's Journey and you can get a hold of us and we'll give you more details, and we're happy to have you.
Is that SisterJaguarsJourney.com?
Yes.
Yes.
A minor detail. Right.
Yes.
And
Carry on. If you buy the book, we want the Atchwar to win. And I just think every time somebody buys a book for $20, it's like we're going to buy school supplies, or we're going to buy a soccer ball, and we're going to come in and give what Celestino wants us to bring. If it's a chicken, whatever Celestino asks us to bring in, we're going to bring it in. And so just mm-hmm. know that when you buy the book, you're really buying a chicken.
And okay. Getting a good story.
I've got that visual, right? Were you going to say something, Sandra?
Oh, I was just going to say that not only are you contributing to the Atchwar, but you're also getting a good story. You know, Sister Judy's story is a good story, so it's worth reading.
Well, actually, I was going to say the same thing. It's not just Sister Judy's story, but it's the perspective that one gets on the inside of everything from becoming a nun, which I had never really understood before, to the trials and tribulations that you endured in trying to start up these alternative schools and the wonderful thinking behind them, and just the life of a rebel that you demonstrated in the book, the power of your anger to push through all of the obstacles that you had to push through. And then the latter part of the book, when you talk about the people in the rainforest, their spirituality, the day-to-day life of these people, the heartbreak that we just described of losing children and losing people to disease, which you kind of think that indigenous people are immune to, but they're not. I mean, they're very much like us, but what really pulls the book together is, I think, the central message of the book, which is that we are literally all one. We are one with all life. We are one with each other. We are one with the planet, with Pachamama. The character of Pachamama really comes through as an individual in her own right. So I want to warmly commend the authors and recommend this book to our listeners. It's an enthralling, engrossing read, and it tells a story of such poignancy and connection that I think you will come away deeply affected and inspired to look at our planet through new eyes. So, Sister Jay and Sandra, are there any messages you would like to leave with our listeners?
I'd like to just say, fall forward. You're going to trip up, but just fall forward and keep struggling, keep trying. You can do it. Don't give up at 68. What if I had given up at 68?
I would say, you know, that we're far more resilient than anybody ever talks about. Human beings, it is our nature. Resiliency is our nature. So in this particular moment in time, I would invite everybody who's listening to really understand that we live in an extraordinary moment, and as a species, we are an extraordinary species. And you know, I challenge you to become a role and contribute to them and get involved with them. It's Lynn and Bill Twist are two role model and very inspiring human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've had the privilege of hearing Lynn at Jane Houston's Mystery School. It's amazing what wonderful work they're doing and how passionate they are about it.
Yeah, they
passion,
inspire.
Passion is something, absolutely, passion is something that is really very close to anger. It's the engine that can drive us. So rather than turning that passion against yourself in anger, turn it to doing good in the world. Sister Judy Bisignano and Sandra Morse, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having us. Thank you.
And thank you for listening, my dear listeners. And be with us next week. Until then, much love and many blessings. Goodbye.